Our gospel reading is coming from the lectionary, which is a series of readings used by many mainline churches. So I have not chosen these readings for the next few weeks because of things I want to say to you. I am following the lectionary. And so listen for these words again from the Gospel of Luke today. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Oh, then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Through these words, God's voice is heard.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the good humor we enjoy in this, your house of worship. We give you thanks for the signs of hope that are all around us in this world. We ask, O God, that you would continue to open our eyes to those signs of hope, that they might encourage us. We also ask, loving God, that you would help us to recognize ways in which we can also build those signs of hope. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I am a wealthy, upper, middle class, privileged, white woman. If you had asked me just a few years ago, I would not have been able to admit that. But over the past few years, my status has become apparent to me. When I divorced, I bought the only house in the West End of Toronto I could find in my price range that didn't have a caved-in roof, I kid you not, or a crumbling foundation, or rats living in the walls. It is in a neighborhood known for some gang issues. A week after I moved in, someone was shot dead two blocks away. At that point in time, I would have told you I was poor. so poor I couldn't afford to buy a home in a safe neighborhood. But it's amazing, isn't it, how experience changes your perspective. As I began sitting on my front porch the first fall, I realized just how many people lived in the Toronto housing units and the apartment buildings up the hill from me. And I noticed that no matter what scraps I put out for garbage, they disappeared quickly. 20-year-old ratty and torn, worn sleeping bags disappeared in a flash. Things I felt were not good enough for me and not good enough to take to a second-hand store found a home somewhere with someone almost as soon as they hit the pavement. And I will never forget a conversation with another single mom that ended, "You are so lucky, I will never own a home." Suddenly, the list of woes that I carried with me about living in a 90-year-old home with a sagging roof and clay sewer pipes, with 1960s avocado and gold kitchen and bathroom tiles, was replaced in my mind by a list of luxuries. I owned a home. I owned a car. Well, the bank and I still have an understanding about both of those items, let's say. I had an income large enough to allow me to do the renos that needed to be done. Soon I paid off my car. I began to travel. All of a sudden, I realized I couldn't call myself poor anymore because I was privileged. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, I mentioned last week that when the Jesus of Luke's gospel begins a parable, a story, saying, "There was a rich man," we know that rich man is not going to be the hero of the story. But you have to admit, this portrait of a rich man somehow resonates with our reality if we just change the backdrop a bit. There was a rich woman who used to sit on her front porch and watch the tenants from local apartment buildings pick things from her garbage. There were rich folk who lived in a beautiful community in beautiful homes, while just streets away in that same community, children went to school hungry. There were people who lived in the most beautiful country in the world where they enjoyed free health care, fresh food of every kind, backyards and cottages. While in other countries, no wait, even in their own country, people had no safe drinking water, no money for medication, no pensions, no security. We have lots of conversations here in the church about how best to communicate events, and I have to tell you, the most frustrating thing we hear after things have been in the bulletin, online, on the screen on Sunday morning, circulated widely, the most frustrating thing we hear is, if I had only known, if somebody had told me, if I'd known it was going to be that good, I would have bought a ticket. How many times do we hear that in life? If only I had known. If only someone had told me. Just to lighten things up a little bit, I need to tell you that email is the best thing that ever happened to marriages. I don't know if you know that. Because wives now have proof that they told their husbands all of the things that the husbands swear they didn't know. It's irritating for sure. It's frustrating. But it's just human nature not to take something seriously. Not to really pay attention until it is going to affect us. I always say there's nothing worse than a reformed anything who now, after years of bad behavior, wants to preach at you about your lifestyle. Because if they had only known, they say, they would have changed earlier. That's the rich man's plea in our reading today, isn't it? If only he had known, so at least go tell his brothers, warn them. But no sympathy for him from Father Abraham. Even if someone returned from the dead, you wouldn't listen, he says. We know in our hearts, don't we, how fortunate we are. We've been told by others, we know from experience. The question is, what do we do with that knowledge? Do we continue to live as we have always lived, letting a few scraps fall from our table as our nod to those less fortunate? Or do we make changes in our own lives, significant changes? Are we willing to live with less so that others might have more? Well, I better be careful in this pre-election time, I think, as I fear the sermon is sounding more and more like a socialist sermon, eh, Larry? Yeah, I know. I need to be careful. And if it feels like I am pointing the finger, rest assured that finger is pointing at me before it points anywhere else. And I really have absolutely no desire to use this passage to inflict guilt, for guilt is crippling. But gratitude has the power to enlighten, to inform, and to transform. So I'm going to suggest that rather than hearing this parable as yet another dose of guilt or judgment upon those of us who know well enough our privileged status in life, that we hear it instead as a wake-up call to be more self-aware. You know, the glass can always be half empty if we allow our perception to be influenced by those who have more, those who enjoy things that we'll never have. Or if we take a second look at that glass and see it not just as half full, but as just a few drops away from overflowing, then our desire to share more of what we have will be greater. Now more than ever, I think there is no excuse for ignoring our good fortune. Because if we don't see it firsthand on a daily basis, then 5 minutes of the evening news is probably enough to wake us up to the reality of our world. And there's also no excuse, really, for not reaching out in some way to the world. around us. And when you just look within our own church at what possibilities there are, from our local givings, which support the work of this church, which I hope, I trust, makes a difference in the lives of people, to the support of our National Mission and Service Fund, to Kerr Street Mission, Food Grains, our refugee family who continue to work hard to get on their feet, to the multitude of other opportunities we offer here and ones that you support out there in the world. We have to make the world a better place. We have no excuse to rest complacent. Well, you get the picture. The sad thing is there will probably never be a shortage of those who would love more than just the scraps from our table. But perhaps we can work at changing that reality. May God increase our gratitude for what we enjoy in life, and thus our determination to build a better world where love will win over hatred, where good will win over evil, where peace will win over violence, and where no child will have to go to school hungry. Thanks be to God.